You can feel it before you see it, a low rumble that crawls up through the desert floor and into your chest, and then it comes around pylon 6 and the whole world gets loud. I'm not kidding. Nothing prepares you for an unlimited racer at full bore 50 feet off the sagebrush. I'm ramp, this is ramped check on radio hangar, and I'm standing on the ramp at Reynosted Airport in northern Nevada, where the national championship air races turn this little field into the fastest motorsport venue on the planet for 1 week every September. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let me set the scene for you, because this place is something else. Stead Airport sits about 15 miles north of Reno in a wide brown valley ringed by mountains. On any other week of the year it is a quiet general aviation field with a single paved runway, a couple of hangars, and a whole lot of nothing. But for this 1 week the place transforms. You fly in, and the first thing you notice on the CTAF is how busy the frequency is. They set up temporary tower operations, they run multiple arrival procedures. You are sequenced in behind Bonanzas and Barons and RVs and the occasional turboprop, all funneling into a field that suddenly has the traffic count of a Class Charlie airport. You park on the grass, you shut down, and before you even pull your headset off you hear it, that deep, unmistakable snarl of a Merlin engine somewhere on the other side of the field warming up, and you just sit there in your airplane for a second and grin. The pit area is where the magic lives. Let me take you there. Imagine a long row of open-air shelters, like oversized carports, stretched out along the taxiway. Under each one sits a race airplane, and around each one swarms a crew of mechanics and volunteers working with the kind of focused intensity you see in a Formula One garage. Cowlings are off, cylinder heads are being checked, oil is being sampled. These teams have been preparing these machines for months, sometimes years, for a handful of 8-minute races. And the airplanes. Oh, the airplanes! The unlimited class is the headliner, and it is absolutely wild. These are World War II fighters, mostly Mustangs and Bearcats and Sea Furies, that have been modified to within an inch of their engineering limits. We are talking about clipped wings for less drag and counter-rotating propellers, engines running on special fuel blends producing over 3,000 horsepower. These are not museum pieces. These are living, breathing, screaming race machines that happen to share a bloodline with the airplanes that won the war. You walk up to one of these unlimited Mustangs on the ramp and it looks mean. The paint is slick, usually a single bold color with a big race number. The exhaust stacks are polished, the canopy is low, everything about it says speed, and when you talk to the crew chief and they tell you this thing is going to turn around the course at over 450 miles per hour at 50 feet above the ground, you think they must be exaggerating. They are not. The course itself is a roughly 8-mile oval laid out in the desert north of the runway, marked by tall pylons painted in bright colors. The pylons have judges stationed at each one watching to make sure every airplane goes around the outside. You cut a pylon, you get a penalty. You go below the altitude floor, you get a penalty. The rules are simple. Go fast. Turn left. Do not hit the ground. I talked to a crew chief who has been coming to Reno for over 20 years. He told me something that stuck with me. He said, "The hardest part is not the speed. It is the heat. Not the Nevada sun, although that is brutal. He means the engine heat. You are running a Merlin or a Pratt & Whitney Art 2800 at power settings that were never designed for sustained use. In the war, these engines made emergency power for maybe 5 minutes in a dogfight. At Reno, they run at those settings for the entire race. Thermal management is everything. You get a hot cylinder head, you're done, and then there is the pilot. These are not kids. Many of the unlimited pilots are former military, former airline guys, with tens of thousands of hours, who happen to have the very specific skill set required to fly a 70-year-old piston fighter in a tight left-hand pattern at racing speed while managing an engine that is trying to melt itself. The G-loading in the turns is real. The sight picture is surreal. You're banked over looking down at sagebrush, with another racer's wingtip 100 feet away, and the whole thing happens in a blur. But here is what I love about Reno. It is not just the unlimiteds. The sport class is where innovation lives. These are kit-built and home-built airplanes, many of them designed specifically for racing. You see Lencare Legacies and Glacier Sportsmans and custom-built machines that look like they belong in a wind tunnel. The sport class is where a guy working out of his garage in Oregon can show up and compete. The speeds are lower, maybe 250 to 300 miles per hour, but the racing is just as close, sometimes closer. The T6 class is pure nostalgia. North American T6 Texans, the airplane that trained most of Allied military aviation during World War II, thundering around the pylons in a pack. They are all running the same Pratt & Whitney R-1340 engine, so the margins are tiny. A race can be decided by a second or less, and the sound, if you have never heard a dozen T-6s in formation turning a pylon together, it is one of the great sounds in aviation. This deep, throbbing radial engine growl that echoes off the mountains and just fills the valley. The biplane class is the wild card. These are mostly custom-built biplanes with tiny engines and incredible agility. They race low and close, and the whole thing looks like a swarm of angry wasps chasing each other around the desert. The jet class is relatively new, and it is growing. L-39 Albatross trainers, the occasional T-33, they bring a completely different energy. The speed jumps up, the sound changes from a growl to a scream, and the crowd reacts differently. There is something about a jet at low altitude that just grabs you. And then there is the Formula One class. These are the smallest and in some ways the most pure purpose-built racing airplanes with Continental 0200 engines, producing 100 horsepower. They are tiny, they are fast for their size, pushing 250 miles per hour, and the racing is incredibly close because the airplanes are so evenly matched. This is where grassroots air racing lives. Now let me tell you about the atmosphere on the ground, because this is a fly-in as much as it is an air show. The static display area is enormous. Warbirds, vintage airplanes, home-builds, military aircraft, they are all there. You can walk from a fully restored P-40 Warhawk to a brand-new Cirrus SR-22 to a Vietnam-era Huey helicopter in about 3 minutes. The vendors are selling everything from aviation art to custom exhaust systems to flight sim gear. There is a food court that smells like tri-tip sandwiches and kettle corn and jet exhaust, and honestly, that might be the most Reno Air Races smell there is. The grandstands face the home pylon, so you see every airplane come screaming past on the start-finish line. The announcer calls the race like a horse track. He knows every airplane, every pilot, every engine mod. The crowd goes nuts when someone makes a pass on the inside of a turn. People are standing on their seats with binoculars, tracking their favourite racer around the far side of the course, waiting for it to reappear from behind the mountains. I met a family from Montana who flies their Cessna 182 down every year. They camp under the wing on the grass. Dad races in the sport class. Mom times the engine runs. Their two kids, maybe 12 and 14, are already helping the crew with cowling fasteners. This is their family vacation every single year, and the kids told me they cannot imagine doing anything else in September. That is the thing about Reno. It gets in your blood. There is a volunteer corps here that numbers in the hundreds. Former pilots, mechanics, engineers, aviation lovers who donate their time to make this thing run. The pylon judges sit out in the desert heat all day watching one specific turn. The course marshals coordinate with race control on every lap. The medical teams are stationed at multiple points around the course because this sport, and I need to be honest with you, this sport has real risk. There have been accidents at Reno, serious ones. The racing community knows this. The pilots know this. Every morning before the first heat, there is a pilots' meeting where safety is the first, second, and third topic. The medical and emergency response infrastructure here would impress you. It is robust. It is practiced. And it is a reminder that what these men and women do is not a stunt. It is competition at the absolute edge of what piston-powered aviation can do. You know what moment gets me every time. It is not the gold final. It is the morning. Before the crowds fill in, when the valley is still cool and the sun is just coming over the mountains to the east. You walk through the pits and you hear the quiet clink of wrenches, the murmur of crew conversations. Someone is priming an engine. Someone else is wiping down a canopy with a chamois cloth. The airplanes are sitting there in the early light, looking like the most beautiful things ever built, and there is this feeling of anticipation that is almost electric. Something big is about to happen, and you are right there. Then around 9 or 10 the first heat goes off, and the whole valley comes alive. The start is incredible. The pace airplane, usually a Beechcraft or a fast twin, leads the field around for a pace lap. The racers are stacked in a formation behind it, engines roaring. Then the pace airplane pulls up and away, and the flag drops, and they are racing. The field spreads out within seconds. The fast ones pull ahead. The close ones start jockeying for position, and for the next 6 to 8 minutes you stand there with your jaw open, watching airplanes do things you did not think airplanes could do. A Mustang pulling 5 G's around pylon 3 at 470 miles per hour. A Sea Fury drafting behind another racer waiting for the straight to make a move. A Formula One pilot diving inside on the last lap to steal a position by half a wingspan. This is racing real, no kidding, put it all on the line racing, and it happens in 3 dimensions. If you have never been to Reno, put it on your list. Fly in if you can. The experience of arriving by air, parking on the field, and walking straight into the pit area is something you cannot replicate by driving. You are part of it the moment your wheels touch down. The National Championship air races are the last great spectacle of piston-powered speed. There is nothing else like it anywhere in the world. Everything I've shared today comes from reporting by the Reno Air Racing Association, Air and Space Forces magazine, and years of race coverage by EAA and AOPA. More from us anytime at radiohangar.com.
I'm Ramp. Go fast. Turn left. I'll see you on the ramp.